Okay, welcome back. While the while the media is beating the drum over the FBI raid on Donald Trump's home residence at Mar-a-Lago and allegedly opening his very secure safe, among other things, reality continues all around us, and that reality is, unfortunately, death and severe injury leading to ultimate death. And the worst, of course, is the children. You just cannot countenance in any way, shape, or form any parent being called a parent who would allow their child to be injected with this crap. There's plenty of information out there. We've been at this for 2 years now, plus, and everybody who cares has access to that information. It's right there. Erica, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Welcome back, partner.
Thank
Crazy
you.
Out
Good
there.
To be back. Oh, it is. It is. And we have heat. Heat on top of it, which makes people, you know, crabby.
Crabby? yeah, at least. And probably makes their driving even worse, especially if their air conditioning isn't working. But I don't even pretend to be able to project how far they're going to carry this, except as far as they need to. They're just turning the volume up, the volume of noise, the volume of chaos, the volume of misdirection. It's all misdirection. Big story today. Dr. Bobby Malone, our hero, wrote a big essay called The Madness of Groupthink, where he analyzes society, societal ills, and all the rest of it. He is truly a man for all seasons, this guy. Just keep your eye on him. He's being groomed. Don't forget that, as we've been telling you for a long time. It's all a carny act. It's all a sideshow. And it's all scripted. Nothing is being allowed to happen by happenstance. It just doesn't work that way. Funny how we watched Malone from the very beginning on that first program he was on. Who
yes.
was he on with? Steve?
Steve Kirsch, and it was the Dark Horse podcast with
right.
Brett Weinstein
that's
and
right.
his
that's right.
Heather. I thought it was odd because I, you know, up until then, you know, it was Drew Wiseman and Catalin Carrico who had been given credit for this mRNA technology that they
right.
were using in the vax, and then they kind of went quiet. They disappeared from the limelight, and then all of a sudden here is Robert Malone taking credit
the inventor.
The inventor. Wait a second.
You were all over that. We reported it. I watched that program like you did, and I just said to myself, here it comes. Here's another one. They're going to launch this guy big time. And
mm-hmm.
they did.
They did.
He had to, you know, look, it's all about image and telegenicity and demeanor. And he had this soft-spoken little teddy bear voice, and he looked like a teddy bear. Come on, it's perfect. Perfect. And they took him from that humble beginning, and look where he is now. They're producing, what are these, hour-long, those Headwinds documentaries? Are they about an hour,
yeah,
45
yeah,
minutes?
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Come on, who gets documentaries produced about them, where they're shown walking alone down these desolate roads, deep in thought and meditation? They're trying
well,
to ponder where it's going.
And they're keeping us entertained while the genocide
yeah.
continues.
Well, we caught him, and he didn't like that. He did an interview in Hawaii. It was a year ago this month, I believe. And he, in that interview, said, we must get as much vaccine into our adults and seniors as soon as possible. I'm paraphrasing. But that's what he said. And then he
right.
said, well, not a good idea for kids, but what about the rest of us? Anyway, he said as much vax as possible. And we played that clip on this program. And quite literally, the news journalist who got that interview with him was called at home by Bobby Malone and said, I'm really not happy with you letting that be released. I'd appreciate it, or something like that. In other words, don't do it again if you know what's good for you. So, yeah, it messed up. He made a number of early faux pas mistakes, which anyone would, I guess, but he's being groomed. I don't know for what, but it's big. It's big. We'll see. We'll see. Now, for all of you out there who have been following us, you'll know that we spend a lot of time on the transmission, the horizontal transmission or shedding of the spike protein and or the mRNA and or unknown other issues which could easily be being transmitted as well. I don't know. We don't know. We're on the outside. Erica's done an absolutely brilliant job of connecting dots that we're not even supposed to be able to figure out. But we've done pretty well, and we have a fairly good idea of what's happening. The people who are out there who aren't listening to this program really are at a terrible disadvantage. They are being exposed all the time to what they do not want, which is the spike protein and possibly mRNA and other things. They are victims. They've led a life of being unvaxxed. They're trying to be aware and alert, and yet they're not told about the dangers. That group that you monitor in particular is composed of about how many people now?
One of the shedding groups is 17,000. It's growing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's worldwide.
Well, 17,000 worldwide out of 8 billion people. You see the advantage that they have. It's not there. And they'll quash that group and they'll shut it down if they have to. But it's still there right now. And there are shills working these social media groups all the time. I don't care which group it is. There's always a shill or two or three or ten watching it and monitoring it and putting in negative and, well, they're trying to cause fights and dissension and all the rest. You know what they're doing. You see it all the time. Is there a group that hasn't been penetrated in your view? Or can you find evidence of shills in most of them?
Mm-hmm. There's a handful. But if the group gets big and there's enough people in there, they will, you know, plant a troll or a shill to control the narrative.
Yeah, they don't miss anything. All right.
I mean,
now,
and they were quite candid about that. A year ago, they were going to do that. They were going to have an army of shills and trolls to infiltrate social media and control the narrative.
I forget what they called
it.
I forget what they called it. It was kind of like fact checkers for social media or something. It wasn't that, but that's the
idea.
Well,
and let's not forget that Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, that we posted a copy of that.
Last week, yeah.
And they completely legalized this type of thing, you know, their own disinformation to for purposes of domestic security.
Lying to save us all. That's what's legal now.
Yeah, it authorizes hoaxes, fake news, false flags, crisis actors, fake shootings, fake domestic terrorism, Hollywood control of U.S. domestic and foreign policy.
Yeah. For our own good, though. Come on, Erica. For our own good.
It's perfectly legal.
We're not able to take care of ourselves. They have to make sure that we're safe. All right. We have a very special guest coming up now. And let me her name is Cindy. We'll leave it at that. She has a master's in science in human nutrition and biochemistry. She's well qualified to talk about what has happened to her. And what has happened to her is not good. And it's a very important story that you're going to hear, and I hope all of you take it very seriously. And we still highly recommend that you wear a mask if you go into any store or enclosed location where 80% of the people or thereabout are vaxxed. We know, we understand that the spike protein is small enough to go through a hole in any mask. But sometimes these proteins will bond with a water molecule or whatever. And then that increases their size and they will get trapped in the holes. So give yourself that advantage. All right? Unfortunately, I'm seeing more and more people who are wearing masks. It's kind of encouraging. I'm not saying they're listening to us, but it's good to see. It's not enough. But, you know, rather than one or two in the store, I might see half a dozen now in the store. And I get in and get the hell out as quickly as I can. Cindy, welcome to the program. Are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. How are you?
I'm fine. Say hi to Erica.
Hi, Erica. Lovely to be speaking with you tonight. How are you?
I'm good, Cindy. Welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Now, what I'd like to do is start off kind of at the beginning. And the beginning for many families in this country is rather tragic. Who gets vaxxed? Who doesn't get vaxxed? The arguments, the enmity, the anger, the yelling and screaming that I've heard for 2 years. If you don't get vaxxed in a family, you're out. Like our guest last hour, Donald Jeffries. He's about the only one in his extended entire family who didn't, and he's out. So, you know, is blood thicker than vax? I guess not. That's kind of a twist on an old line, but what happened to you, Cindy, in the beginning when this thing was rolled out? How did your family take to it? What happened? And then we'll go from there.
Well, in the very beginning, I guess it was it end of 2019, maybe beginning of 2020?
Right.
I had seen a lot of videos online from China of people, you know, literally they were, you know, allegedly keeling over dead at work, in the street, you know, you name it. And as I watched those, I mean, I was frightened. I was absolutely frightened. I had no idea what was going on. And at that time, my husband and I had moved in with my parents. My dad was quite ill. He had a number of very grave health issues, and my dad was 85 at the time. My mom was around 80, I think, and they couldn't manage anymore. So we had been coming to the house to help take care of them, and we couldn't do that anymore. So we committed to moving in with them. Now, at that time, my sister, who lives in a couple provinces away, I'm in Canada, had called to say she wanted to come for a visit. And just at where I was at with not knowing what was happening with this whole COVID situation, mm-hmm. I had asked her if she would be willing to just, you know, postpone her visit until I could find out what was going on.
Did she tell you, Cindy, excuse me, did she tell you up front right then and there her vax status? Or had she committed?
They hadn't rolled those out at that point. This was very early on in the picture.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
And so what happened from that was I found out a couple days later she had tried to report me to the authorities for elder abuse.
What?
For preventing her from coming to see her parents.
Elder abuse.
So that sort of laid the stage for everything, you know, right from the very beginning of when we started to hear about COVID, you know, my family started to break apart.
Big antagonism now, right at the beginning. Not good.
Absolutely. Not good. Just because I said, you know, I'm not sure about what's going on. I'm mm-hmm. a little nervous about this. You know, we have elderly parents. Dad is not well. You work in the public. My sister's a pharmacist. You know, you work in the public, you're flying in. I've heard some real horror stories. Can you just hold off, like not for forever, but, you know, just until we can get some more information? So right from the start, you know, there were issues. You know, time
wow.
progressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they started to roll out the vaccines, as, you know, if you want to call them that. And I, you know, continue. I always research. I like to know what's going on. I want to be informed. And, you know, right from the start, even from the start when they said, you know, these potions don't even meet the legal definition of a vaccine. So I was very suspicious. And so, I mean, right off, I'm like, I'm not touching
question.
It. And,
another quick
know,
question,
even with
if
my
I might.
Parents, I talk to them now. My dad... for whatever
quick,
reason,
quick question, Cindy. Real quick. Hold on, if I
yes.
might.
Yeah.
Was your sister... Now, you have a master's in human
I have a master's
nutrition
science degree, yeah.
And biochemistry. Was your,
yes, sir.
Your sister's a pharmacist. Do you think that she was jealous of you, or was there some competition in her mind about how dare you do this? You don't know as much as I do, and on and on. And how did that play into the rollout of the vaccine? She's giving these at the pharmacy, I would think, or somebody there is.
Well, my sister, she did her MBA, so she went into the management end of it. She stopped dispensing years before that, so she's in management.
Oh, okay. All right.
My nephew, her son, had recently become a pharmacist, and he's the one that's in the store giving out the vaccines to everybody.
I see.
Now, my sister, you know, I'd had this conversation with her when I tried to explain why, you know, I tried to talk to her about, you know, this probably wasn't a good idea. Again, you know, why didn't you give it some time, get some more information before you commit to this? And she didn't want to, you know, she didn't want to hear about that. So she went ahead. I found out she had gotten her two shots. Now that was, my dad passed away in March of last year, and she got her shots after that. She came after my dad passed away, went home. That's when I tried to talk to her about it. She went home. I found out that she had gotten her two shots. So
did your nephew give them to her?
You betcha. The whole family.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Erica,
and
you want anything, Erica?
I'm listening.
Good.
You know, in fact, my entire extended family, aunts, uncles, cousins, the people in my neighborhood, everyone on my street, they've all been shot up.
Wow.
We are a literal island on the prairies here. My mom, my husband, and I are the only people of everybody I know who have not had the shot.
Gosh.
And your nephew was guilty of giving a lot of these people in the family shots. You said that virtually everybody.
Well, you know, in my sister's family, they all live in their province. Now here, I mean, we had massive publicity for vaccinations here in the city. I live outside the city, but in the city where I live. And, you know, I'd have my aunt calling me and saying, oh, we've got our appointment. We're so excited. You know, your uncle can't walk, but we got him this beautiful, shiny red wheelchair to take him for his vaccination. And, you know, they were giddy. And I was just listening to it going, oh, my gosh, you know, please, please don't. I tried, between my husband and myself, we tried to talk to all my family members. We tried to talk to all of our neighbors, share a bit of information. And, you know, for myself, I would just get this polite smile. Well, that's very nice, Cindy, and we appreciate, you know, that you know, you're very knowledgeable, and we respect that, but nothing's going to happen to us. We're going to be just fine, so don't worry about it. And I would just say, okay, all right.
Well that's,
you know,
that's all you can say. That's fatal condescension on their part, ultimately.
Yeah, I know. I have two neighbors across the street. I'm extremely fond of them. They're like family. I went over there to talk to them, and I'm like, look, please, if you're considering this, don't do this. And my neighbor said, oh, we're going on Saturday. We have our appointment. And I said, why? Like, why don't you just wait? Can you just, like, there's a lot of information coming out. You know, I tried to share. I'd printed off some information, and they weren't interested, and I got that same, oh, well, we appreciate it. You know, that's so kind of you, but nothing's going to happen to us, Cindy. We'll be fine. So I left it at that. I stopped talking to people about it.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, well, you know, watching friends, family, neighbors just being led to slaughter, and it was horrible. The psychological impacts for me were horrific. I spent many a day crying. I went through a deep period of mourning and, you know, just feeling completely helpless about it.
Yeah, you're not alone.
No, I understand that. You know, like, there's a lot of us. We're not alone. But when it's your friends, it's, you know, it's the people in your immediate circle that you see making that commitment to doing something that I think is obviously very harmful. It feels very alone.
Yep.
I can't imagine a family again. I don't have one, but being torn up.
Pardon me,
I didn't
catch that.
I can't imagine a family being torn to pieces over this whole death shot thing. It's like a surreal movie that we're all trapped in. It shouldn't
be
happening.
It's a paradigm shift toward the horrific is the only way I can think to put it, because
fair enough.
Oh, yeah. You know, the implications and the change and, you know, just the waiting to see who's going to drop next.
Right.
Because it's happened in my family and it's continuing to happen, and I'm hearing more and more people just through, you know, tidbit of this or that, it's happened to them too. Nobody has connected the dots.
You know, you...
Isn't that amazing?
It
blows my mind. I just think, oh my gosh, what is wrong with you that you just can't, it's so obvious. It's like as obvious as the nose on your face, and you're not getting it.
No.
Here, this is important. We talked earlier, Cindy and I, about this issue that she is describing right now. It makes no sense. And I said, yes, there's an enormous amount of denial. And she has a better word for it. And you want to tell us what that word is and read the definition or give us an approximation of the definition?
I said it's
denial
a delusion,
is a part
Jeff.
Of it. It's what?
Yeah, it's a delusion. And I had told you, you know, I looked up what is delusion. I looked it up online, and this is what it says. Holding on to personal beliefs that are contradicted by reality or rational argument, typically as a symptom of mental disorder.
That sums it up.
It truly does. I mean, I'm not saying that these people are mentally ill, but there's a general mental illness that has run through both of our countries and well around the world, where people have been brainwashed. People, I think through the decades, there's been such a reverence and faith put into the medical system.
Yes.
I remember having this conversation with my sister, and she said something to me to the effect of, well, why don't you listen to what the experts are saying? And I said, well, who are the experts? And she said, well, it's the provincial health ministers and the doctors that are talking on the news. And I said, no, they're not the experts. I said, there's so much irrefutable scientific information out there that says it's contrary to what these people are saying. Well, why would they say that? If, you know, if that weren't true, what you're telling me would be all over the TV. And I said, no. No, but, you know, unless you understand what the system is,
right.
Who runs the system, where the money goes, you know, I don't think that you could grasp it. And that's a deep, scary rabbit hole to dive down.
Oh, most people would.
It takes a lot of courage to dive down that hole.
They would want nothing to do with that. So what we have here is a mass denial, but more than that, we have mass group delusion. And it is a psychological disability. And it has been brought about with the utmost of intent and planning. This is not an accident. As you know, and all of you listening know, this has been planned. As Dr. Robert Malone said, we've gamed this for over 20 years. And we've got him on video saying exactly that.
I agree. I mean, you see it everywhere. You know, if you go out, if you try and talk to people, it's everywhere. And it's, you know, Jeff, I had sent you an email last week, and I said, I feel like Chicken Little. You know, I'm running around, oh, the sky is falling, the sky.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, you know, yeah, right. But it is.
Yep.
Okay, so you had obviously a shattering experience, or two or 20, with your family members. That's very sad. And knowing what you know about what this shot actually is, to carry that grief around, and many of you listening right now, wherever you are in the world, are carrying that same grief, you know your loved ones are in real trouble. I'll leave it at that. Real trouble. And they may not realize it. Not until the very end. And still they'll deny it because of the delusion.
I agree. I agree. I've had you know, my dad passed away in March of last year. And then within the next, oh gosh, what was it, 9 months, four more family members passed away. All of them,
wow.
All of them elderly, you know, 80 years old plus. All of them double jabbed, and two of them were boosted. The other two didn't make it to getting boosted, but the other two were boosted, and they died very soon afterward.
And they wouldn't connect the dots?
No. No, I remember having a conversation with my aunt, and I was trying to talk to her. Oh, she had told me her grandson had a friend in his 50s, died unexpectedly. This was last winter, and I said, oh, was he vaccinated? And she said, are you telling me, Cindy, that the vaccines are killing people? And I said, well, you know, like, check out theirs. Like, there's tens of thousands of people who have died in the United States directly connected to the vaccinations. She got quite angry, so I let that go. But, I mean, I've encountered that many times. Are you telling me that the vaccinations are harming people? Well, I'm trying to, yeah, but, you know, obviously you're not interested, so I will stop talking about it.
Mm-hmm. That's the only answer.
It is, and that's a hard thing. You know, when you care about people and you want to help them, you want to save them, because sometimes that's, you know, literally what, you know, you're trying
to
do.
Well, that's a normal human instinct to, if you see somebody heading for a cliff, you want to steer them away from the cliff.
Back. The,
right.
You know, bad thing is, though, is if they decide they want to keep running forward and jump off the cliff, you know, sometimes you got to let them.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to let them. And a lot of people out there listening right now have had to make that decision. It's very difficult. Very, very difficult. Okay,
yes,
let's move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad passes away. Your mom is still there. You get a call from your sister, and she wanted to come visit. Tell us what happened.
I'm just going to back up a tiny bit. Now, last summer, my dad passed away in March, and my sister wanted to come visit last summer. Now, I knew at that point that she had been double jabbed. So every time she called last summer that she wanted to come for a visit, I was very creative in reasons why it was not a good time. So I managed to stave her off for an entire summer last year. This year, in the late spring, probably around May, she called. She had some holiday time, and she wanted to come for a visit. Now, she wanted to come for 2 weeks. And I managed to bargain her down to 1 week, because I thought 2 weeks, that, you know, that's really playing with fire here. I thought, okay, 1 week, we can survive 1 week, I think. Because over the last year, we've been very diligent in our supplementation. We take our vitamin D3, our zinc, our quercetin, our vitamin C. We take NAC. And we had also started taking Bob Greska's C60, which has worked miracles for all of us. So I felt we were all as healthy as we could possibly be. I felt like we were very well armored at that point. So although I was reluctant, you know, to have her visit, I thought, okay, you know what? I think we can do this. And I prepared my mom.
Were you aware
of
the shedding thing? Is that why you were putting her off?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So you knew of the shedding, okay.
Absolutely.
And that was your biggest concern.
Yes. Yeah.
But you thought she could handle it.
Frankly, I was terrified because I had experienced negative reactions to being around vaccinated people before, and I had been shed on. I had become quite ill already.
Oh. Oh, so you'd been spiked before.
I had been spiked before, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you thought you were prepared enough. You're going to let her come visit in your home.
Yes,
that's
sir.
That's quite an outstretch of welcome to a vax person, to your sister, to be brought into your home for a week. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It, you know, had it just been my husband and myself, I think I would have just said, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. But you know, I had my 83-year-old mom. 2021 was, it was a horrible year for her. She lost her husband of 60 years. She lost a brother. She lost a sister. She lost two brother-in-laws. It, you know, it was hard on her, and she missed her daughter. She hadn't seen her for over a year. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, I can't do this to this woman. I can't say, no, you can't see your daughter. So, you know, as I said, I felt we were as well prepared as we could be. Mm-hmm. I made some ground rules with my mom about, how much time to spend with my sister, not to touch her, not to spend time in a vehicle with her, because they had, you know, we're talking about doing a couple of day trips, and I'm like, please don't. So I thought, you know, okay, I've got this figured out. I set up a bed for her in my office with a pull-out couch. I put a 2-inch foam on it. I used bedding that we don't use, pillows we don't use, because I was going to throw it all out after. And I stayed away from my sister for the first, I think, 4 or 5 days that she was here. I spent it outside working in the yard. So, you know, my mom was doing fine. We were all doing fine at that point.
Okay.
So if you want me to continue here, the next day, I thought, oh, you know, I should spend some time with my sister. She probably thinks it's a little bit odd that I'm not spending any time around her. So I hung out with her for the day.
Yeah.
And I was feeling fine, but then I gave her a hug. I gave her a kiss on the cheek. Felt fine. Got up the next day. Things had changed.
She's still there the next day. You got up the next day, and things had changed. You didn't feel so good.
I didn't feel so good. I woke up. I had some pretty intense arthritic pain in my major joints, my knees, my hips, my elbows. I had a bit of a headache. I had some faint, but, you know, like not, well, it's never normal, but some chest pains. And I was starting to feel kind of nauseated. And as that day progressed, it got a lot worse. I started to experience, like, really severe neuropathic pain in my entire back, from the top of my neck right down to the bottom of my tailbone and right across the back of my pelvic girdle. And I knew it wasn't muscular pain. Like, there's, I don't know if you've ever experienced, like, neurological pain, but it's very different from muscle pain. It's, there was just these searing little red hot fibers of pain shooting like electricity through my entire back. It was extremely painful. And the nausea had ramped up. It was unrelenting. I was having chills and I was sweating. It wasn't like a flu. I don't know if it was Sherry that you spoke to last week that said something about some symptoms she had, or if it was a letter you read, but that person had said it wasn't a flu. And I knew this wasn't a flu. It was very different.
And this is just one day after the hug and the kiss. One day.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah, one day. And it you know, I woke up feeling that way, and it progressed very rapidly during the day. This wasn't like a several-day process. I mean, that was within a matter of 6 or 7 hours during that first day when I woke up feeling not well. Like, it ramped up fast.
Did you say anything to your sister about this?
Yeah, I said, I don't feel too good. You know, the nature of my relationship with my sister was, you know, I walk on eggshells with her. She has a hair-trigger temper, and... Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, I'm a little tired of being called crazy, and I did not want a major meltdown happening in this home with my mom here.
Understood.
Just said I'm not feeling well, and I went to bed and stayed away
now,
from her.
How about your husband? Was he getting any symptoms?
No, my husband's way smarter than me. He said there's no way. He said he was quite angry that I had acquiesced to her visiting, and he said, if you think I'm going within 10 feet of her, you're crazy. He spent literally that entire week in the yard and in the garage or downstairs in the basement.
Wow.
He did not go near her. He's smart.
Had he had any experience with shedding in the past?
Yes. Last summer, I had renovated our cottage. We have a cottage in the province over, and I had renovated it for sale. And I sold it myself. So we had a weekend set up where we had people coming to view the cottage. A couple came, a husband and wife, and he had just, a month earlier, he'd had open-heart surgery. So where I live, you can't have surgery if you're not vaccinated.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
Clearly he must have been recently vaccinated. And my husband spent quite a bit of time outside talking to him and shook his hand. Everyone left. We were fine. We're heading home down the highway. It's about a two-hour trip. And not too long into the trip, he said to me, I don't feel well. He started having severe chest pains. His left arm went numb. He couldn't feel his hands. He was seeing black spots. He thought he was going to pass out.
Oh,
so he
gosh.
Had to pull over on the side for a good 30 minutes. I thought
wow.
he was going to die. I was, I don't want to cry here. I was terrified. I thought my husband
gosh.
Was having a heart attack and he was going to die. I also had some effects, like certainly not like that, but I went through that whole neuropathic pain, the nausea, the arthritic pain, the brain fog, not feeling well. He
gosh.
Got past it, and, you know, within a couple of days, he was better. We were both better. I think for me, it took about a week, but, yeah, he had a very severe reaction. My husband doesn't have a heart condition. He's a pretty healthy guy, so the only conclusion I could draw was, you know, he had been spiked and spiked pretty badly.
Well,
all right.
Did you connect the dots at the time? Did you know it was from that exposure?
We discussed it. My husband is very aware, and he came right out and he said, that guy, he said, you know, he shed on me.
So you knew.
What,
that's good.
What do you think happened to you to make you have any kind of a response to the people who came to view the cottage? Just being in the room with them? You didn't shake hands.
You know, I don't recall. I don't think I shook hands. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
My husband and I had discussed it. We said we were going to keep our distance from people.
Right.
We had all the windows in the cottage opened. But I also, you know, I'm trying to sell a property for some, you know, pretty decent cash. I wasn't about to be standoffish, so perhaps I stood closer to someone. Maybe I shook someone's hand. I don't remember. I wasn't, you know, I just wasn't thinking at that point of what I was doing.
I understand.
I was trying to sell the property.
Yeah, understood. Okay. All right. Let's move ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You both got better after the cottage event.
Yes.
Are you still suffering from your sister's hug and kiss on that you gave her on the cheek?
Well, today would be day 15, and I have not been doing well. To the point where I want to have that in internal fortitude where I'm like, I'm gonna beat this, but I had been getting pretty down. I was getting kind of concerned, feeling ill to the point where I haven't been able to function.
Cindy, that was only 15 days ago that you gave your sister the hug and the kiss.
Yes.
Okay.
But I will tell you, I got in the mail today, after listening to one of your shows and doing some research, I ordered some of the 10,000 part per million colloidal silver, which was supposed to arrive on Friday but was delayed. There was a knock on my door this morning, and there it was. So I did the dose of that and the dose of the can cleanse. And then in the afternoon, I did a 30-minute session of nebulizing the colloidal silver.
That's our sponsor she's talking about. Albert Soto created Atomic sized colloidal silver. So this is different than any other colloidal silver on the market. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, and I did have another colloidal silver product that my husband and I purchased when COVID first hit, because we had heard There was research through the University of Arizona, and it sounded like a great product. It was 23 parts per million. So definitely not 10,000. But it wasn't doing anything for me. So the colloidal silver started today. I did the two doses. I had a nap. I had the deepest sleep almost. It was almost like I was drugged. I slept so deeply for 2 hours. I woke up, and I felt very ill, and I thought, okay, I'm having a Herx reaction. I had been through them before. I had Lyme disease for 10 years, and I experienced a lot of Herx reactions when I would change my antibiotics and other medications, so I knew I was having a Herx reaction.
For our listeners out there, Herx is Herxheimer's. It's the body cleansing itself of stored-up toxicity, and it makes you feel really lousy until you drink enough water and get it out of your system, basically. That's a simplistic way to look at it, but that's what she's talking about. Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, like when you have a lot of toxins in your body or parasites or bacteria, and whatever you take kills them and they have a massive die-off, they produce toxins on their own, is my understanding. And so, yeah, you have a very strong feeling of illness as your body purges those. And, you know, I had some really strange oily sweat when I woke up. So I drank a bunch of water. I had a shower. And I'm feeling better. I can honestly say I am feeling better now. I compared to how I have been for 15 days, I'm starting to feel much better.
We're going to watch this and see how you do. This is very interesting and very encouraging. And it would be a Herxheimer's response is something you would expect if something is working. So it fits. It fits, right?
Well, it's not pleasant to go to, but it's a great hump to climb over, because once you get past that, things do get better.
All right, very good. Well, we'll watch this for all of you out there. And this is the Gold Longevity Colloidal Silver. You'll see in the banner right above Headline News. Thank you for... I didn't ask her to say that. Thank you for saying that. And it's very interesting.
Well, that in combination with the C60, I had talked to Bob Greska earlier in the week. Poor man. I called him to talk to him. He asked how I was doing, and I just started to cry and blather about how horrible I felt. So I had been increasing my intake of that, and it was managing my symptoms very well. I was taking it every 2 hours, and the symptoms would subside, but if I wasn't taking it constantly, like, the symptoms would come back. So it was definitely managing the symptoms, but it wasn't quite kicking out what was in there, and that's why I decided to pair it with the colloidal silver. I needed that dynamic duo to really conquer this, and I think that it is working.
All right. We don't have a whole lot of time left. What's your plan of action from this point forward? Where are you going to go with this?
That is such a good question, and I am torturing myself with that, because I know my sister is going to want to come back. She was talking about coming back in the fall, and I just think, I wouldn't want anyone to be in this position. Like, what do you say?
You can't come home anymore.
I'm sorry.
You want me to call her for you?
I would love you to do that.
I will.
It's not a nice thing to be terrified of a family member, of hurting their feelings or having a vicious backlash. This is not a nice position to be put in, and it's not their fault, and it's not my fault. It's the fault of these monsters who have done this to us and to our families.
Yeah.
What a story.
And I know my story is not unique. I know my family's story is not unique. This is happening all over the world to millions of different families, and it
absolutely
breaks
is.
My heart. Yeah. And it takes, I think, a tremendous amount of courage to be able to speak up to someone and say, look, this is a situation. I don't give you permission to make me sick. I'm sorry you made that decision. I love you, but I can't be around you. I haven't found that courage yet, but I'm working on it.
All right, well, you can call either one of us if you need any help. We'll help you.
Oh, I will. Thank you. And Erica, my mom is doing fine. She had no effects. My mom
now,
has
I assume,
system. My mom has
yeah,
an
I assume
system,
your sister.
No one.
Okay, so that's good. So your sister, I'm assuming, spent quite a bit of time with her since that was the reason for her visit.
Yeah, night and day. They were together night and day. My mom never touched her. I told my mom, do not touch her.
She yeah, that seems to be the main mode of transmission is touch. If you can avoid being touched, that's half the battle.
A hug and a kiss on the cheek, how does that, wow, that's an efficient bioweapon.
I've heard that from numerous people now. They've described the exact same thing. It was just a casual, you know, just brush of the skin, cheek to cheek.
Yeah, a little sign of affection.
Yeah.
You know, a little sign of affection has turned into like the mafia kiss of death now. It just,
right.
Yeah, it's sad.
Erica.
It's sad.
Erica.
You know?
Question. Yeah. She's been spiked once or twice before, Cindy. She's had reactions to being around the vaxxed. Has she become more sensitized than maybe mom is to this stuff? And that's why mom might not have shown anything yet?
I mean, yes, elderly people are not going to have that robust of an immune response.
Right.
Generally. I mean, she could still have spike in her. Her body's just not reacting violently to it. I don't think there's a real pathogen here in these cases of spiking. It's a poison. It's a toxin. It's a protein. Potentially lethal protein, depending on where it ends up in the body. But we don't know the full extent to what's in these things. So
your story is very helpful. Go ahead, Erica.
No, I did. You know, people debate whether or not there really is a spike protein, and we can find evidence of the spike protein. You know, what we know about the spike protein that comes from the virus, we can find it in tissues through immunohistochemistry staining and that type of testing. We can find it at the scene of the crime, so to speak. So people that are saying there's no spike, I'd be careful with that. You know, what's in the vaccines? It could be the code for the spike. It could be the code for anything, really. They can change up that code at their own discretion anytime, and nobody's asking any questions, and they're not telling either.
No, they have that legal ability now. No more reporting to anybody if you don't want to. Just change it.
No, this is complete lawlessness.
Yeah. Yeah.
There
All
is
right.
no regulatory agency that's operating on our behalf anymore. Those
no
are
more.
Gone.
Cindy,
so you're your own advocate.
Yes, and you've done very well. It's all a learning process. Let's hope that what happened today is an indicator that you're going to throw this transmission, this shedding, out. It sounds like, at this point, we'll track this. We're going to watch this. It sounds like you did something very smart in adding that to what you were already doing. The colloidal silver, the atomic size colloidal silver. This is an unprecedented product. So let's see what happens. Thank you,
Cindy.
Yeah,
I would agree, and I have. I'm charting this. I'm charting the changes. I'm charting how I, you know, what my symptoms are, how I feel, what I've taken. So I'm experimenting on myself, and I am very excited because for the first time in 15 days, I feel pretty good.
That's fantastic.
I agree.
Yeah.
We thank you very much for sharing that. That was not easy.
Thank you, Cindy.
And,
pleasure. My pleasure.
We'll be here.
I hope it's helped some people. And there's always hope, everybody. There's always hope. You just got to be strong.
Yep.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. All right. We'll talk again. Yes. Take care, Cindy.
Yes. I would love to. Thank you so much, and you both take care.
All right.
Okay, Cindy. Good night.
What a story. And as she said, it's happening all over the world like that. Very similar.
Yeah.
Destroyed families, destroyed relationships, and destroyed lives. This is incredible. We could do another hour or two. We'll have Cindy back and track this and see how she does with it. It sounds very encouraging so far. See, it's interesting, isn't it, how even the best laid plans can be lost in just a second.
Yeah.
Just a second.
Yeah.
She gave her sister a hug and a kiss on the cheek because it's a human thing to do. And bang.
Yep.
We don't know, and we talk about this, how this happens so quickly, so fast, within just a matter of hours. That's a real conundrum. Any other thoughts you want to throw in here?
All I can say is you know, that's the power of nano-sized molecules. They go slip right through your skin, into your bloodstream, and it doesn't take much. And for whatever reason, the vaxxed, they may be neutralizing these proteins as they're being produced. We don't know. We don't know why they appear to be somewhat immune to the effects of them, at least outwardly so, but they're hideously toxic to other people and pets. I just heard of another friend I know that whose cat died today, and he's vaxxed. His whole family's vaxxed. The cat just died suddenly.
The one that was you told me about, it had cancer?
No, I don't know what the situation is. It just died.
Oh, unexpectedly, as they say in the obituaries.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Just died.
I mean, it's amazing that nobody's really taking notice of this. All these people that are dying suddenly, it's becoming normal. There goes another
canaries,
one.
Canaries everywhere. And no one's noticing.
I know it.
Dead canaries. Dead
Amazing.
People. Dead pets. The indicators are all right there, everyone. I'm sure many of you are aware of that. Okay, out there, take care. Be safe. Forgive the cliche, but be safe. Use your head at all times. And wash your hands. Try not to touch other people. It's hard for me to believe I'm even saying this.
I know it.
Any other advice? Yeah. Any other advice you can give?
No, that's it. Just, you know, like others have said, try to be downstream of where these people are breathing.
Airstream. Think about
airstream,
that.
Airstream, yeah.
If you
yeah,
could airstream. See... If the exhalations that people give out were colored, you would be shocked at how big and how much they exude from their lungs. So try to stay, if you're outside, stay upwind of them without question.
Right.
Do not get downwind.
Yeah, I think I said downstream. I meant upstream. Right.
No, you're fine. Oh, man. All right, well, we will watch this one. And we thank all of you for being here, as always, and we're here to help. So we'll be back Wednesday, and carry on. Thanks, friend.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we'll be back with Hour 3 after this.